last week when we began our series on fan or follower, we looked at the crowd of 5,000. And that was just a little example, biblical example, that Jesus had just fed these 5,000. And we discovered that these folks seem to be in it for the grub. They seem to be fans. And so they were not necessarily committed to him. And so we're going to continue this idea, this topic of fan or follower. And why do I do that? Because I think that Jesus, I know according to the scriptures that Jesus, when he calls people to follow, he means follow. And so I think this is vitally important for the church today in America and around the world to know that when Jesus calls us and we repent of our sin and we proclaim faith in Christ and we surrender our wills and surrender our agendas and we commit to follow, he means follow. And so this whole idea, this fan or follower topic is like I said, it's not even my original thought. This Not a Fan book was put out by Kyle Eidelman, and so I've just built on that book when he said Not a Fan to include in my series Fan or Follower to challenge us to think, am I really where God wants me to be? Am I really, really where he wants me to be? And last week we looked at Matthew 7:21. We're not going to today, but if you don't know what that is, you better take a look. It's serious stuff, friends. And we need to ask ourselves, do I really, really know that I know? Am I a genuine, passionate follower of Jesus Christ? Because a fan isn't going to get it done. A fan won't do. And so I'm going to continue on this topic again today and next week for sure. And so challenge your thinking for a minute. This comes from his book. Here's what Kyle Eidelman wrote in the book, Not a Fan. There's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. Did you hear me? There's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. You know, as I thought about that, I thought of the words, the phrases of Jesus, like, go and sin no more. That might interfere with our life. I thought about words of Jesus like, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself daily. That might mess with our schedule. I've thought of words like Jesus has said, take up your cross. We're going to talk about taking up your cross today. That may interfere with your life. And so when I read that, I read this quote from Pastor Kyle, I think he's right. I think if we are going to be a genuine follower, committed and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it will interfere with our agenda. Anybody agree? I think it will interfere with our agenda. If we're going to be passionately following Jesus, it's going to interfere with our life. And if it's not interfering with our life, or we even say, you know what, I'm not sure I want it to interfere with my life. Friends, we're not ready then to follow Jesus. That's what he says here in this scripture that we're going to look at today. And so I want you to turn to in your Bibles to Luke 14 because we're going to look at a few verses there. Remember what we said last week? Fans are happy to be along for the ride. Fans are enthusiastic admirers, happy to be along for the ride until it requires something of them, like commitment or surrender or obedience. And so that's why this is a very important subject. It's a very important thought. Am I a dedicated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I simply a fan? Let me give you one more quote to ponder, then I'm going to go on to Scripture, and we will talk about this quote tonight. Here's what Kyle writes in his book. Many fans have repeated a prayer, raise their hand, or walk forward at the end of a sermon and made a decision to believe. But there was never a commitment to follow. Jesus never offered any such option. Jesus is looking for more than words. He is looking to see how those words are lived out in your life. When we decide to believe in Jesus without making a commitment to follow Him, we become nothing more than fans. Biblical belief is a commitment to follow. End quote. That may give you some heartburn. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight and add some more scripture to it, but I think he's right. When you look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, they had to commit to follow or they walked away, one or the other. They had to commit to get serious with Jesus. In the Old Testament, serious with God, or they had to walk away. There's no way to follow Jesus without Him interfering with your life. Luke 14:25 says this. Now great multitudes went with Him, just like we saw in the 5,000. Thousands of people interested, enthusiastic admirers, curious onlookers. Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned to them and said, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. You see what he's saying, brothers and sisters? I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty of this in a minute. But do you see what he's saying? The Bible says there's these masses of people that are enthusiastic admirers, casual observers, curious onlookers, these masses, and Jesus turns to them and said, do you really want to follow Me? Then you're going to have to take it seriously. Do you really want to be My disciple? Do you really want to be My follower? And he even adds a little more to it. How bad do you want to? Are you willing? And then he makes this statement. You see, great multitudes went with Him as enthusiastic admirers and curious onlookers, and He looked directly at them and He said, anyone that's coming to Me who does not hate his own relatives, his own family, and He says it all, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. I'm going to talk about that hate in just a minute. That's a pretty strong statement. He doesn't want fans. He wants people that are committed, sold out, unreservedly ready to follow with whatever He calls us to do. And then it goes on. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me, he cannot be My disciple. Excuse me. Do you know what bear their cross meant in those days? Do you know when he said those words what that meant? Somebody take a shot at it. What did bear your cross mean to them in that day? It meant you're going to die. The cross was a sign of death. And when Jesus said, and whoever does not bear his cross, Jesus is saying, if you're not willing to take up your cross and head towards the crucifixion zone, what did he say? And come after Me, cannot be My disciple. You see, friends, Jesus saw the masses. He's seeing them again today, and he throws this out there because he said, following Me is serious business. It's serious. You've got to be willing to say, I will put Jesus above everything else. If you're not willing to die for Me, he told this great multitude, you can't be My disciple. And friends, why do we think it's changed from the disciples of that day to the disciples of today? I don't think it has. I think Jesus is saying the same thing. I want people to be passionate about Me. And then he throws in a comment then, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish the tower, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He's just throwing that out there, an example. Why would you start something and not finish? You better count the cost if you're going to be my follower. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it's worth it. But Jesus said very emphatically, you better count the cost. Because I don't want you to start on this journey and be like that last group we saw last week in John's gospel. It said, and they followed him no more. He wants us to take our following seriously. Excuse me, my throat's very dry. Let me just say this, that Jesus is not saying, telling or teaching us to hate. That would go completely against the greatest command to love, and the next one like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. But Jesus is absolutely clear that to choose to follow him, there has to be a choice to follow, and there will be, certainly could be, a cost. He is absolutely clear about that. He's absolutely clear. If your job, if your family, if your position, if your status, if your looks, or anything else is more important to you than he is, then we're probably still in the fan category. He wants to be first in the life of the follower. Now great multitudes went with him, enthusiastic admirers. Jesus wanted to be clear to them. They have to be willing to leave everything else behind, willing to give up everything and anything. They would have to be willing to renounce everything but him. It was a strong statement. But he didn't want just enthusiastic admirers. He didn't want just curious onlookers. He wanted people to commit. I will follow him no matter what. You know what? In some cases, when you commit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, your family may ridicule you. That's a possibility. Your boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're dating, may scoff at you and bail out on you. Your parents may try to disown you, or worse yet, in some world movements, they may try to have you killed. Why? Because following Jesus is offensive to the world. But Jesus said, if you're not willing to put me first in front of everybody else, he said, you can't be my disciple. Including our jobs, including being pastor, or shop worker, or farmer, or housewife, or factory worker, or whatever we are. You've got to put me first, he said. A college lady came to Kyle Idleman's service. He writes about in his book. And she gave her heart to the Lord that day. And she said, I want to be baptized, pastor. Afterwards, she said, I want to be baptized. And he said, yeah, we're going to have a baptism here on such and such a date. No, she said, I want to be baptized right now. I want to be baptized today. And he asked her, do you have some parents here? Do you have some family here that want to be part of this with you? And she said, no, I don't have no family here. As a matter of fact, my parents aren't going to be happy about this at all, because I have decided to follow Jesus. My parents aren't going to be happy with this. But you see, friends, when this young lady heard the voice of Jesus call, she was willing to go. She was willing to follow, even though it meant perhaps alienation from her parents, because she felt the call of Jesus. It may mean you're not that popular in school if you're going to be a follower of Jesus. It may mean when everybody else is saying, well, you haven't done that, or you haven't done this yet, or you're not going to cheat on that test. It may mean you've got to take a different stance. It may mean if you're a business owner or you're high up in the company, you may have to take a stance for morality. Following Jesus may interfere with your life. Friends, it may mean, as Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, you've got to cut the sin out now, friends. You've got to cut the sin out of your life. It may mean go and sin no more. Following Jesus is going to interfere with your life. And so let me challenge you. Our time is running out already. Let me challenge you with a couple, three things today before we close. When we compare our relationship with Jesus to anyone else, we're already on the wrong path. There should be no comparison. Do I love my family? Absolutely. Do I love my wife and kids and grandkids and parents and you as my brothers and sisters in Christ? Absolutely. But there is no comparison because Jesus is first in my life. They know that. And that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. Does he say to outright hate your wife and your parents and your kids and grandkids? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, are you willing to put me first? Ahead of your job. Ahead of your family. Ahead of your promotion. Ahead of your 401k. Ahead of these things. Are you willing to put me first? That's what he's saying. And when we start to compare Jesus, yeah, but Jesus is pretty high up there, just about as high as this or that. We're on the wrong path already. There should be no comparison. Now let me ask you a couple questions to ponder. More ways. I mentioned some ways last week to tell. Are we fans or followers? Let me ask you to ponder a couple things. For what do we sacrifice our time and money? Think that through a minute. When was the last time we stored up in a week for weeks and weeks and weeks to sacrifice our money to Jesus? I know Sunday morning for an hour may seem like a sacrifice. It's not. I'm sure glad you're here. But 1 hour a week is not a sacrifice. Several hours a day might be. When was the last time we were willing to sacrifice our time or our money for Jesus Christ? I read it in a book just last night after I went home from prayer time. I was reading, being self-centered is idolatry. We've fallen into the trap. We're so self-centered in America anymore, we've fallen into the trap of idolatry. And so ways to tell if we are fans or followers, we can ask ourselves, for what do we sacrifice our time and money? Remember what Jesus said? We don't have time to look there, but you know the passage in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot serve both. You cannot serve God and money. He's not saying money is evil. He's just asking us, what's more important? How do you handle it? What gets you excited when you get up in the morning? That's another question to ask ourselves. Am I excited because today the Vikes are playing? Or am I excited on Friday because it's a high school football game? I fell into the trap. I don't about the Vikes anymore. I don't have to worry about that. What gets you excited? I was so blessed this morning to hear somebody already came early. They're excited to come to worship the Lord. Does Jesus get us excited or does everything else? Does the bottom line of my retirement statement get me excited? Does thinking about the game this afternoon get me excited? A way to tell if we're really fans or followers, what gets us going in the morning? What gets us excited? I tell you what, friends, if you ask the world what they think of the church, you know what the main thing they say is? Hypocrites. When you ask the world what you see when you see the church, they say hypocrites, because the church is doing the same things the world is. We get excited to go buy a lottery ticket. We get excited for the same thing the world does. And Jesus is just saying in this passage, how important am I to you? Multitudes that are enthusiastic admirers. He's just saying, how important am I? Because if you're not willing to put me first, so much so he uses the word hate. If you're not willing to put me first, he said, you can't be my disciple. Jesus wants us to get excited about being his child. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about being his child. I'm excited about living for him. I'm excited about eternity. I'm excited about what Jesus is doing in our community, in our lives. Jesus wants us to be excited about what he is and who he is in our life. Instead of everything else getting the excitement category, and he don't get nothing left over. You see, friends, Fans don't put Jesus first and leave him there because they're just fans. Followers follow regardless of the cost. Followers get excited to be in the presence of Jesus. Followers get excited to do the work and the ministry of Jesus. And that may just mean going to work and putting on a smile. That may be your ministry. But because I am a follower of Jesus and I love Him and I know the Bible says I'm working unto God rather than man, I'm excited about being a follower of Jesus even in the workplace. Let me close with this story. Time's already up. John Oros was a church leader in Romania. He spoke at a Mennonite Bible seminary not too long ago. He spoke about communism in Romania. Because, as you know, a lot of you remember, communism and Christianity didn't go well together in Romania. A little like Christianity and Islam in Pakistan today. And he said this at that seminary. During communism, many of us preached. And people came at the end of the service and they said, I have decided to become a Christian. We told them that that's good that you want to be a Christian, but we would like to tell you that there will be a price to be paid. Many things can happen to you. You can lose when you say you're going to follow Jesus, and you can lose big. It's nice that you want to be baptized, but when you give your testimony, there will be informants there. They will jot your name down, and tomorrow the problems will arise for you. He said, count the cost. Following Jesus Christ is not easy. It is not cheap. You may be demoted. You may lose your job. You may lose your friends. You can lose your kids. And you can lose your life. Back to the phrase that we started with when Kyle Eidelman said, to follow Jesus may interfere with your life. John told his would-be followers, you better count the cost because there's going to be one. Friends, to follow Jesus is a commitment that's not to be taken lightly. Like I said, we're going to talk about this again tonight. Going to look at some scripture. Going to look at that first comment that I read from Kyle's book. And I'm just challenging us to be more than fans. Not saying that that's what we are, but I'm just challenging us as churchgoers. People that come inside these four walls. And I'm challenging us, as Kyle did in his book, to the next church goers, that we are more than fans. We need to be followers. We need to be passionate about Jesus. It may interfere with your life. As I said, if we're living in sin, there's probably going to need to be some changes. If we're in school and our kids are all saying, you're not doing it, we're doing it. It may mean you got to take a stand. It may mean interference with your life, friends, but I can tell you, I can assure you that to decide to follow Jesus is worth it. And He will walk with you, and He will guide you, and He will love you, and one day He will usher you into His kingdom forever. When we have decided to be followers. I said this about prayer time, and I will close with this. We take time for a lot of things in life today. We make time for a lot of things. How much time and energy is Jesus getting in our lives? Jesus is calling His church, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, to commit to be followers, not just fans.